What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. That's right, y'all. New intro music today. That song is called Aaron Judge, off of my upcoming album, Crazy 8, which drops this Friday on all digital retailers. So you can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, and all those dumbass streamers. Anywhere. Anywhere that you consume music, you can find it there. You can also buy CDs on my official website, katietrop.net, but I know most of y'all don't do that, but yeah, that's the new jam. I've got Jack Tatum, covers football. I've got Mamba Mentality, covers basketball, and now I've added in baseball with Aaron Judge. So yeah, I'm going to mix that one in. Definitely going to play it again on Friday since, you know, it's the new jam, got to play it, but... Since we're in the NBA playoffs and baseball season, I'm going to mix in both that one and Mamba Mentality, of course. So that's what I'm going to do, just going to kind of rotate them as the sports seasons go along. You know, football season comes around, Jack Tatum's going to get thrown back in there. When it's basketball season, and Mamba Mentality is going to be in there. And when it's baseball season, Aaron Judge going to be in there. And maybe in the future, I will cover another sport on one of my songs because that's just how I do. So speaking of baseball... Let's get right into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. And a little bit of movement. Actually, a team's kind of fallen and just keeps on falling. And it's pretty fucking hilarious at the same time. So let's get right into the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. Number one remains the Atlanta Braves because they are kicking everybody's ass. Overall record of 25-10, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Detroit Tigers and then took the series over the Colorado Rockies. They did get Spencer Strider back, and he pitched really well in his game back. But then, of course, Ronald Acuña, he goes on the injured list yesterday. But, I mean, I've mentioned it. He really hasn't had that great of a season so far, and they've been playing well even without him really doing anything. So, I mean, it sucks that he's not out there, but at least this injury is not going to really set them back, I don't believe. I mean, the Braves, they've been playing excellent baseball from starting pitching. Their relief pitching has been excellent. They are just scoring like no other. They're just getting on base. They're stealing bases. They are just playing excellent baseball, and they must remain the number one overall team in my power rankings this week. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that is climbing, and that is the New York Yankees. Overall record of 23-11. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers, and they could potentially sweep the Orioles game four tonight. They've taken three out of the four games so far, so they've taken the series, but they could go for the sweep tonight. Ben Rice has been having a monster season, batting a .343 with 12 home runs, 27 RBI, and right on his ass is Aaron Judge, batting a .264 with 13 home runs, 23 RBI. Cody Bellinger, he's been having a phenomenal year. He just had a game that over the weekend where he had two home runs in a game. Caballero's doing so well that they actually are keeping Volpe in the minor leagues right now. He was recovering from his injury and was going to be coming up from the minor leagues, and they're like, Caballero's playing well. We got to keep him in there. So really, my only issue with the Yankees remains their bullpen. Their bullpen is so unreliable, and, you know, even though they're able to overcome it for the most part, because their starting pitching is just money, and they're getting Rodon and Cole back. Those two are they're right around the corner. They are right around the corner. Rodon was just in minor leagues this week, so he's probably going to be coming up here in the next week or so. And then Cole, he's going to be right on that ass as well. So they've already got dudes going deep into the innings. They're going about 7-8 innings deep, and they're striking them out, and that's what they need because their bullpen is getting blown up in certain ways. And I kind of feel like the Yankees at some point are going to have to make some type of trade or some moves for some bullpen helpers because it has not been – it's not looking good. But everything else with this team looking pretty goddamn good. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 22-12. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Diego Padres and then swept the Arizona Diamondbacks. Shota Imanaga, he is picking up right where he left off last year. He had a lights-out year last year, and this year he's got three wins. 2.40 ERA and 43 strikeouts. Ian Happ is having a solid year as well, batting at 2.48 with 8 home runs and 15 RBI. The Cubs are just getting a lot of production in from a lot of different players in a lot of different ways. They are doing so well on the offensive side of the ball right now. But their pitching is phenomenal. Their bullpen is doing well also. They are just, they're just an all-around solid team right now. It's crazy because the National League Central, all of the teams right now, all five teams in the National League Central are playing such solid baseball right now. I mean, all five of them. They're, you know, I'm not talking about all five of them in the top 10 this week, but they are all five competitive. They're all five. They're just all five having a a really good year. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Right now, the Cubs are obviously at the top of the mountain, but they've got the Reds right there. They've got the Pirates right there. They've got the Cardinals right there. Like, there's just so much going on in the National League Central. It's pretty crazy. But the Cubs, they are on fire. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 21-12. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and took the series over my San Francisco Giants. And this is probably one of the most surprising teams to me in baseball just because I really didn't expect much from them. But offensively, they are lights out. Yandy Diaz, he's injured right now, but he's been having a phenomenal year. Junior Caminero, he's been catching stride. Then Aranda, he's also been having a solid year. And then their pitching has just been really, really difficult to score on. So the Tampa Bay Rays, they are right on the Yankees' ass. They've been just completely competitive this entire season. And it's very shocking just because you never know what you're going to get from the Rays. But here they are as one of the top teams in the league. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. This is probably one of the hottest teams in the league. They're playing excellent baseball right now. They just hit the 20-win mark. They're 20-14 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. They took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. As a matter of fact, they swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. Then they took the series over the Los Angeles Dodgers as well. Their rookie, Jordan Walker, has just come out of nowhere this year and has just been lighting it up. He's batting a .307 with 10 home runs, 27 RBI. They're also getting some great pitching out of Dustin May and Pallante. And I don't know how long it's going to last for the Cardinals, but they are looking really good this year. Weatherholt, their other rookie, he's having a solid year as well, on not only offensively, but defensively as well. This Cardinals team is just playing excellent baseball, and they've been on my radar. I just didn't know if I believed in them, but since they've just been playing solid baseball since the start of the season, had to talk about them because they are playing really well right now. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 21-13. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Miami Marlins and then lost a series to the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, they're just having a slump, and I'm enjoying it. I'm going to enjoy it as long as it lasts because, you know, it's not going to last long with the Dodgers. I mean, they're still one of the top teams roster-wise. It's actually quite shocking to see Shohei Ohtani in a slump with his hitting. I mean, technically a slump. I mean, his slump is still everybody else's worst day. He's having a okay year hitting-wise. I mean, pitching, he's fantastic. It's kind of shocking that the Dodgers are getting a lot of offensive production from different guys this year. You know, you've got Andy Páez, who's batting a .317 with 5 home runs and 27 RBI, who just has not cooled off at all. And then right behind him is Max Muncy, batting .300 with 9 home runs and 13 RBI. These two guys have been money all season long, and you're just used to it being Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani. Nah, you're getting it from Páez and Muncy. So once this team gets going, I kind of feel like we better just enjoy what's going on right now because they're probably going to get going, and then they're going to have another playoff run, and then next thing you know, they're going to be in the World Series again, winning a third World Series in a row. But I'm going to enjoy the losing streak while it lasts. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cincinnati Reds, overall record of 20-14. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies and then lost the series to the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're just on a down time right now. I mean, for the most part, this has been one of the best teams, especially in their division. They've been flying high, but De La Cruz has actually had a down week, which I guess is going to translate to those losses. But even so, they're getting a lot of production out of their pitcher, Burns, who's got 3 wins on the season, 2.20 ERA, and 46 strikeouts. The Reds, even though they're down right now, I still think they're one of the top teams in the league, still playing really solid baseball. It's just they're on a losing streak right now, and that's just going to happen. Speaking of another team on a losing streak, number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the San Diego Padres, overall record of 20-13. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games in this past week. They lost a series to the Chicago Cubs and then lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. And I just think it's one of those things where they're down as well. That's just going to happen when you have a long-ass season like you do in baseball. You got your ups and you got your downs. And, you know, San Diego has been one of the most consistent teams all season long. It's just at some point you're going to hit a losing patch, and I kind of feel like this is it. And it's the perfect time because the Dodgers are losing as well. The Diamondbacks are now on a losing streak as well. So the whole West, the National League West, is losing at the same time. And so it's not really setting the Padres back that much in the standings. But still, it's taken a toll on them right now, and they've fallen a little bit in my power rankings. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 16-18. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Boston Red Sox, and they took the series over the Minnesota Twins. And they're getting a lot of production offensively from Okamoto. He's got 9 home runs and 22 RBI on the season, and that actually leads the team in both of those categories. Shockingly, it's not Vladimir Guerrero Jr. leading all those categories, but he's been having a phenomenal year as well. Another guy having a great year is Dylan Cease. He's really been money, especially with the strikeouts. He's actually got 56 strikeouts and a 3.05 ERA on the season, so he's been very solid. It's just unfortunately for him, he's not getting a lot of run support in some of his games that he's pitching, so he only has a couple of wins on the season. But it's a long season, but he's definitely showing out every time he's coming in to pitch. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 18-17. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost the series to the Atlanta Braves, but took the series over the Texas Rangers. But unfortunately, they got some terrible news today. Their 2-time Cy Young Award-winning pitcher, Tarek Skubal, he had to have elbow surgery today. Very out of nowhere, too. He was supposed to pitch today, and then they scratched him from the start, like, out of nowhere. They didn't say anything about it, and then about an hour or two after he was scratched from the start, they announced that he had surgery on his elbow to clean out some loose particles in his elbow that have been bothering him. So it looks like he's going to be out at least 2 to 3 months. This is one of those injuries where you just don't really know. You just got to kind of feel it out until he gets healthy. But this is a huge blow to this Detroit Tigers team because Casey Mize, he's on the injured list right now, and their starting pitching has been very shaky other than Skubal. So we're going to see if the Tigers are able to overcome this. They are lucky that they're in an okay division because, you know, the Twins, they're a team who's playing okay baseball. The Guardians, they've kind of slowed it down a bit. The White Sox are probably never going to go anywhere, at least this year. So it's just kind of like you feel like the Tigers are still going to be able to take this division. They do have a lot of talent, but Skubal being out, I feel like, is going to be a big deal for them because he's been carrying them all season long. He's been carrying them basically since he became a starting pitcher for them. And that's definitely going to be a huge blow. And a couple of months, it's not even just, it's not a couple of weeks, it's a couple of months. And that's kind of out towards the All-Star break, if you really think about it. So we'll see what happens with Tarek Skubal, but that's a huge blow to the Detroit Tigers. All right, so let's move on with the NBA playoffs. We had some excellent Game 7s over the weekend. And so now we are on to the NBA Conference Semifinals. They begin tonight. We have 2 matchups, Game 1 on Tuesday night, and then 2 matchups, Game 1 on Wednesday night, and then the rest of the week, it is all basketball. And I think we've got some really solid matchups here. I don't think any of these are going to be runaway matchups. As a matter of fact, every series I have ending with the same amount of wins. Whoever wins, I have them all going in six games. I don't know how I got there. That's just what I ended up with. So let's get into the NBA Conference semifinal matchups. So tonight, we are beginning with the Philadelphia 76ers versus the New York Knicks series. And this is quite shocking because the Philadelphia 76ers, they blew the doors off of the Boston Celtics in Game 7. I mean, as a matter of fact, it wasn't even just Game 7. Game 5 and 6, they played pretty goddamn good as well. I mean, since Joel Embiid came back from his injury, this Philadelphia 76ers team has been a whole different team. And they've been playing really solid basketball. I mean, Tyrese Maxey, I already was praising him last week on the show, talking about how I feel like I don't think he gets a lot of the spotlight in the league because, A, we do have a lot of great players in the league, but, B, he plays for the 76ers, and they just underachieve. They just have always been underachieving, especially during the Joel Embiid years. And so it's actually really nice. We see Joel Embiid have some monster games in the games that he plays in. Tyrese Maxey having a monster year. And then their rookie, VJ Edgecombe, having a monster year as well. And especially on the defensive side of the ball, he has been huge defensively. But the New York Knicks, they handled business as well. They took care of the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks came to play at the beginning of the series, and then the Knicks were like, no, thank you. We got to demolish you. And the Knicks took care of business, as they should, and historically demolished the Hawks in the last game, and now they have moved on. This series, I think, is going to be a really solid series. Philadelphia is better on the defensive side of the ball, but the Knicks, I think, talent-wise, are the better team and the more reliable team. But like I said, since Joel Embiid has been back, the 76ers team is playing with a lot of confidence. And if you really notice it throughout the regular season, because it was a typical, I would say, Joel Embiid season where he was in, he was out, he was in, and he was out. But when he was in, that was when the 76ers really played solid basketball. So I do expect them to push the Knicks to the brink in this one. I don't expect the Knicks to have any type of historical wins in this one. I wouldn't be shocked if we have an overtime game or two. But I definitely think this is going to be an excellent series. I think they match up well against each other. They have talent that matches talent. And I just think we're going to see certain games where Jalen Brunson takes over. I think we're going to see certain games where Tyrese Maxey takes over. Games where Joel Embiid takes over. And I just think it's going to be an excellent series. But with that being said, to me, the Knicks are the more consistent team all season long. I just think the Knicks are the better team, even though I'm looking at the 76ers and how they've been playing with Embiid, just great. But I just think the Knicks are the better team. And so I am going to take the New York Knicks in six in this series to move on. Then our other matchup on Tuesday night we have is the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the San Antonio Spurs. I am going to start this off with a rant. Not against any of the teams, but because as a sports fan, I know I'm not the only one with this gripe, by the way. It has been very difficult to figure out what motherfucking channel or streaming network we're going to get our games. Now, in the regular season, I think it's bullshit, but at least, you know, it's the regular season. There's a lot of games on, so okay, you can mix it up. You could throw it here, you could throw it there. But during the playoffs, I don't think any fan should ever have an issue trying to figure out which goddamn streaming network or channel this game is going to be on. And that is the issue we are running into tonight with both of our matchups. So this Philadelphia 76ers versus New York Knicks game, that's going to be on NBC. Minnesota Timberwolves versus San Antonio Spurs is going to be on Peacock, the streaming network Peacock. They're both going to be on kind of overlapping at the same time. This is bullshit. If we have two playoff games on at the same time, like if we only have two playoff games on tonight, they should not be overlapping. Plain and simple. They should also be on the exact same channel. We shouldn't have to actually switch channels. They should both be on NBC tonight. And then Wednesday's games, I believe, are on ESPN. That's what they should both be on ESPN. But this whole season of not just NBA, but baseball, it's been the same goddamn thing. All season, I've been trying to figure out which goddamn channel I'm trying to figure out what game I'm watching today. And then same with football. What are we watching? So you leagues are fucking shit up with us fans. And in the end, I know it's not fucking y'all over right now, but at some point, that shit is gonna catch up with y'all. Because if you are making it difficult for fans to watch games, ain't that the whole point? Don't you want fans to watch games? Like, that defeats the whole purpose of what we're doing here. So let's make it a little bit more easy for us to watch games. P.S. I live in Austin, Texas. So the San Antonio Spurs are about a, depending on traffic, 45-minute drive from where I live. Maybe an hour drive, like I said, depending on traffic. I shouldn't have an issue finding a San Antonio Spurs game. As a matter of fact, it should be very, 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 very easy for the state of Texas to find the San Antonio Spurs game tonight, but it's not. And that's fucking ridiculous. Okay? So that's my rant on all streaming and all that shit. Figure it out, leagues. You need to figure it out and make it easier for all of us to consume your product, because at some point it is going to bite y'all in the ass, and I'm going to laugh when it does. But until then, I'm going to keep on watching, because I know I'll be watching. Anyways, so tonight the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the San Antonio Spurs begins tonight. Anthony Edwards might play. They haven't announced if he's officially going to play, but he's a game-time decision, I believe. This series is not going to be the same if Anthony Edwards does not play, because the San Antonio Spurs, they are a good-ass team. They have depth, and if they lose a guy to injury, it's not a big deal, including losing Victor Wembanyama to injury. But the Timberwolves, they need Anthony Edwards in this series. They were able to get by in the last series against their division rival. That's way different. This series, they're going to need some Anthony Edwards to at least spark them on the offensive side of the ball, just to even keep up with the Spurs, because the Spurs are one of the best overall, all-around basketball teams on the court. With that being said, even with Anthony Edwards, I think the Spurs are the better team. I think the Spurs are probably going to dominate this series. I think if Anthony Edwards plays, the Timberwolves are going to push them to the brink. They're going to make it a decent series, but I still have the Spurs winning this series in six games. Then tomorrow night, Wednesday, we have the beginning of the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Detroit Pistons series. And this one, the Pistons started off the first round very underwhelming. And then they got it going against the Magic and really actually suffocated the Magic and showed that why they're the number one overall seed. But they almost got kicked out of this playoffs really, really easy. The Cavaliers, on the other hand, I actually don't even believe the Cavaliers deserve to be in the conference semifinals. I think they should have lost to the Toronto Raptors. As a matter of fact, I feel like if Brandon Ingram would have played the last two games, they most certainly would have lost to the Raptors. They were getting outplayed by the Raptors even when they were losing. Or, I mean, even when they were winning in the game, the Cavaliers were getting outplayed by the Raptors. It was just such an odd series to watch. From the Cavaliers, I did not like their body language. They just looked like a very meh kind of team. And so coming into this series, they're definitely going to have to step up their game. The Pistons are the best defensive team in the league. That's actually how they were able to overcome what the Orlando Magic did to them, because they just started suffocating them with their defense, started getting to the free throw line, and then Cade Cunningham was able to take over the games, score some points for them, and then get some help from guys like Tobias Harris and Durin. Even though he didn't have a standout game, he did show up when he needed to at certain points of the game. But even so, I feel like the Pistons are ready to go. I think the Pistons are locked and loaded and are not going to fall back in this series. I do think the Cavaliers will make it a decent series, but I think the Pistons are the much better team. I don't think the Cavaliers even belong in this series, and I've got the Pistons winning this series in six. And then the last series we have beginning tomorrow on Wednesday night, the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, the Thunder have been sitting pretty for about a week, so they are nice and healthy and just ready to go for the Lakers. I was already worried about this series if we had a healthy Luka Doncic and a healthy Austin Reeves and a healthy LeBron James. We have an excellent LeBron James. I mean, LeBron, what he did in the last series, holy shit. For a 41-year-old, this motherfucker is making 28-year-olds look like punk-ass bitches in some of these games. I mean, whoa. So I ain't got no worries about LeBron. Austin Reeves is back, and he played well in the last game. He didn't play so well in the first game, but, you know, it's going to take him a minute. He missed a month of basketball, so it's going to take him a minute to get warmed up. But unfortunately, it looks like Luka will not be coming back for the second round at all. They're making it sound like there's a possibility, but I do this thing where I read between the lines. And from what I'm reading, it's looking like he's not coming back at all for the second round. And like I said, we are going to need Luka for a championship. And unfortunately, we are running into the defending champions who are playing excellent basketball right now. As a matter of fact, when haven't they played excellent basketball at all this season? And I just don't, I already was worried with a healthy Luka, and with no Luka, I really actually don't think the Lakers have a chance. I don't like to say that. You know, as a fan, I of course am rooting for them. If they win, I'm going to be like, fuck yeah. But the actual, when I use my brain over my heart in this one, I know the Lakers don't have a chance without Luka. We need at least a healthy Luka, and it looks like we're not getting any Luka. Even with LeBron playing at the level he's playing at, even if Reeves starts to play better, even if some of these role players start to step it up and play a little bit better. Because, you know, Kennard's been playing great. Rui Hachimura has been money from the three-point line especially. But the Thunder are the defending champions for a reason. And I've said it all season. They are better than they were last year, and it's going to take a really damn good team to beat this Oklahoma City Thunder team. And I just, unfortunately, with no Luka, I don't think the Lakers have a chance. And I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder winning this series in six games. I hate to say it. You know, my fandom wants to say it, but I cannot. If we were playing the Spurs, my dumbass fandom would take over and say it. But since we're playing the defending champions, I can't say dumb shit like that. So I'm going with the Thunder begrudgingly in that series. Even if we get Luka back in any of the games, I still think it's going to be tough because Luka's been out now near a month. And so he has to work his way back as well. So it just sucks. It really sucks, especially because Luka was playing at such a high level before he got injured, and LeBron's playing at such an amazing level right now. It would be so much fun to watch the two of them just play at a high level together, but unfortunately, that's probably not going to be the case. But my ass is going to be rooting for them, of course. I'm going to be rocking Lakers gear every fucking game day. I'm going to be rooting for them every fucking game day, but low expectations in this series because no Luka, all problems for us, but I'll still be rooting for him. All right, y'all, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.